This is Dwayne Kaysen. We are in our midweek Bible study here at New Berean Baptist Church, and we are in a series called The Life and Times of the Apostle Peter. And today's lesson is called One Key, Two Doors. Peter, One Key, Two Doors. Let us open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, and we ask that you would help us at this time intervene in our Bible study so that we can have our hearts open and attuned to all that you have for us to glean from your word. Lord, help us to get closer to you as we study the impact that you had on the life and times of the Apostle Peter, believing that you will also impact us as we look to love and serve you in all that we do and say. These we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. A fateful day when it came to Jesus and Peter, for when Simon Peter was asked, or the disciples were asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon spoke up in the 16th verse of chapter 16 of Matthew and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's what he is doing in our message today, in our Bible study today. He is telling and witnessing to the world that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. For Peter has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. There's one key, there are two doors. In fact, if you would, let's make it three doors. I think we can stretch just a little bit to say that. One key and three doors. So, in our last lesson on the life and times of the Apostle Peter, we saw the Holy Spirit come in power and in glory on the disciples as he empowered them to preach the word. And Peter boldly proclaimed the gospel there on the day of Pentecost, and some 3,000 souls were saved in that powerful sermon that was delivered by the Spirit-filled man, Simon Peter. And at the end of Peter's sermon, he gave the first altar call in a church service, and he invited the people listening to his message from the Lord to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. We might remember in verse 38 of chapter 2 that Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Mark that statement. "For the promise is to you and to your children," and listen carefully, "and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So this message is also going not only to the people that were in the audience in the street on that day, but to all who are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. The difference is God calls us today, but will we listen? Will we respond? So we're going to look at this statement above, "to all who are afar off," because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we're going to learn today in the life and times of Peter. So in The words spoken by Jesus was convincing his disciples of his divinity. So he wanted them to share these words of reconciliation to the world. And there is saving power in God's word. There's saving power in the gospel message. Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it was the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. One key, three doors. Christ simply gave Peter and these other disciples, these apostles, the keys to the kingdom, which means the authority and the power to lead people into the kingdom. And it was Peter's understanding of this truth that Jesus is indeed the Christ, who he said he was, that placed the keys of the kingdom in his possession and let him into the kingdom. And now the same can be said of all Christ's followers till he comes again, that we also have keys to the kingdom. But today we're going to be looking at one key, three doors, as we look into the life and times of the Apostle Peter. So we have these teachings of Jesus that there are the keys of the kingdom. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, which means you can, when you speak, Peter, when you speak, when any faithful Christian speaks, he speaks the words of this gospel, because Jesus is the foundation. He's the bedrock for all that's going to be placed with regards to the body of Christ when it comes to the church and salvation. We're using those keys to build upon that foundation. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not do what? That's right. I heard you through the internet. Okay, so he uses these keys to open up the kingdom of heaven to the Jews that were there in the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls came to Christ that day. But then we saw in chapter 8, after the Stephen was killed, and the church began to disperse out of Jerusalem, leaving the apostles there, still in Jerusalem, that the gospel message went to Samaria. It went to Samaria. And when the Samaritans, through Deacon Phillips' testimony, preaching the word, it says that they received the word of God. And when the disciples heard about it, they went with those keys to Samaria for entrance into the kingdom of God for them. Remember, Jesus said that we were to share this gospel first in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the ends of the world, or the ends of the earth, depending on which version you're looking at in the Gospels. So in Acts chapter 8, we're going to see that Peter is still busy. He's on the move. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Verse 15 says, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because in verse 16, the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. Not in them, on them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus when Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't want to get caught up into the idea of the Holy Spirit and tongues and things of that nature. We need to pay attention to what's happening here. On the day of Pentecost, there in Jerusalem, they spoke languages that were not their native languages. This was showing the evidence of them being filled with the Spirit, evidence of them being children of God, evidence of their salvation. That's what God used it for at that time. And so in Jerusalem, you had a coming on of the Holy Spirit. So that was the Jews' day of Pentecost. You might say that was a day of Pentecost, if you will, for the Samaritans here in chapter 8, as they also are now believing and trusting in Christ, but have the evidence of this new phenomenon, this new thing in which Christ is taking the Christians and making them part of his body. Now, we've seen the gospel message, the commission of chapter 1 and verse 8 of Acts to Jerusalem and then Judea. We now see it going to Samaria. Peter still got those keys with him. Now, there's one more key that he needs to use, one more opportunity to use that key to take the gospel message somewhere else. Well, as a side note, I had a Mustang once upon a time. It's a nice, pretty Mustang. It replaced my 1972 beat-up Pinto. And I was at my job, and I parked in the parking lot, went in, came out for lunch to go sit in my car and listen to radio. And I took my key to my Mustang, and I put it in the door, and I turned the key, and the door opened. I got in the car and realized this was not my car. You see, there were two Mustangs right next to each other, the exact same color. One had North Carolina plates, which was mine, and one had Virginia plates. But for some reason, my key opened the door to a vehicle that I wasn't expecting. I'm used to my door opening and getting into my car. I didn't know that my key actually worked for a different vehicle. Now, I couldn't put it in the ignition. It didn't work there, but it did open the door. Peter has a key. Keys to the kingdom of God. And he, like many other Jews, believed that this key was only good for the Jews. He didn't know that the key that he was given by Jesus Christ was not just for the Jews, but the church. For the church is Jews and Gentiles together. It's the mystery of God, Ephesians chapter 3. He still has not gotten the message that the keys are not just for the Jews, but they also are for Gentiles. They're also for the Samaritans, who are not true Jews, full-blooded Jews. So Peter now has these keys, but it's for a third door, and it's to the house, and more specifically, the heart of a God-fearing Roman centurion, a lover of God, a friend to the Jews, and a man who needed to have entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So let's look in chapter 9 and part of verse 10. And we're going to do this kind of different class, because I need to jump ahead of chapter 10. And I need to look at verse chapter 9, and then after we meet Cornelius. We'll talk about Cornelius next week. So in chapter 9 of verse 32, Peter, at this time, he's traveling about the countryside. He went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. Verse 33 of Acts chapter 9 says, where he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. And Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him. And what did they do? In verse 35, when they saw this miracle happen, they turned to the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit did when he did these miracles. He was using it as an event, but then taking advantage of that and using that to have a presentation of the gospel message, and people would turn to the Lord. And then in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. And it says in Greek her name. Her name was Dorcas. And says in verse 37 that she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. And Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows around that stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made in verse 39 while she was still with him. And it says in verse 40, Peter sent them out of the room. Okay, so let's stop right there. Do you notice that Peter is doing the same things that his master did? How Jesus went into the room of a little girl who had died, and he said, she's not dead, she's asleep. And he took her by the hand and woke her up. Do we not remember how Jesus healed the illness of his Peter's mother-in-law? Peter was witness to these things, and now that the Holy Spirit is working in Peter's life, he is doing the same kind of service, both with the preaching of the good news and in the healing of people who are in need. He is being more and more like Jesus. That encourages us, especially me and you, that we can be more and more like Jesus, as we see not only did Jesus have an impact in Peter's life, but he can have the same impact in the lives of you and I. We can do some of the same things that Jesus did if we were to have a notion to do so, being led by the Spirit of God to serve others. And so here Peter is in Joppa for some time. Now, we're going to verse 42. It says, they became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord because she had jumped back to her feet and was alive. So this word began to spread out that Peter was in the area, and that the gospel had come to town, and that people were turning their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's remember, Peter didn't know, like I didn't know, that the keys to my Mustang could open up another Mustang. Peter did not understand fully that the keys of the kingdom were not just for Jews, but it was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Abraham to Abraham that his seed, his family that would come from him would be a blessing to all the nations, not just to the Jews, but to all, which would include the Gentiles. Peter still hadn't quite gotten it that that message was for those who were afar off. So God is beginning to soften Peter to the reality that the church was a mystery. Why do I say that? Who was Simon the Tanner? It's like this. You could say his name was Kobe the basketball player. That's his name. Or Wilt the basketball player. Or Tom Brady, no. Tom the football player. People's last names was often associated with the occupation that they had. So the home of Simon the Tanner that he was staying in was in the home of a man who dealt with dead carcasses, dead bodies, dead animal skins. That's a no-no for a God-loving, law-keeping Jew. See, he came to stay at the house of Simon, who was a tanner. A tanner was one who would be ritually unclean quite often when we look at Leviticus 11 and those who deal with the carcasses of dead creatures. Look at Leviticus 11, verses 39 through 40. It says, if an animal that you are allowed to eat dies, anyone who touches its carcass will be unclean till evening. Verse 40 says, anyone who eats some of its carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Anyone who picks up the carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Underline the word unclean. Peter was a God-fearing Jew, and most people would not want to stay in the home of a man who was always turning out to be unclean every time he came and finished his work. So Peter is in the house of a man who often ritually unclean. And as Peter got hungry, by the way, we skipped Cornelius, first part of chapter 10, and we're now in chapter 10. We are in chapter 10. So Peter's on the roof of Simon's house. In those days, the houses had roofs that were accessible through outside stairs on the side of the house, and they often had a tent that covered the roof, and it was sort of like their deck. We have a deck on the back. You might have a covering, an umbrella, and a table, and you grill your food, and you sit back and relax in the morning and drink your coffee. Well, that's what the roof was used for in those days. And that's where Peter was. And as he got hungry, he fell asleep. And they were cooking the meal for him while he was waiting. And so he all of a sudden fell into a trance. He fell into a trance. And in chapter 10, we see that he had this vision. Because prior to this, the centurion named Cornelius, a God-fearing man, he wasn't a proselyte. That means he still had not been circumcised, but he was God-fearing. That's the difference. A proselyte is one who goes all the way with circumcision and everything else. But a Gentile who is a God-fearing man still eats the food that the Gentiles eat. but he's not a full-fledged Jew, if you will, from the aspect of circumcision if he's a male. But they call that a God-fearing man. So he supported the synagogue. He lived a moral life with regards to the law. He prayed. He went and supported the synagogue wherever he went, and God heard him praying, and it was considered a memorial offering, which we'll talk about next week. So this has happened with Cornelius. So he's in the back right now. Let's go back to Peter, verse 9 of chapter 10. About noon the following day, they were on their journey approaching the city. These are the men that are coming from Cornelius' house to come and get Peter. It says that Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry. In verse 10, he wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, mark that, reptiles, mark that, birds, mark that. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Animals, reptiles, and birds, three categories of Old Testament food substances. These creatures were either clean or they were unclean for food. And the Jews were raised to consider anything unclean with regards to meat, which included pork, shellfish, rabbits, and reptiles. They considered this disgusting. Unclean was disgusting to them. You might remember the Pharisees in chapter 7 of Mark. They were upset with Jesus and his disciples because his disciples hadn't washed their hands. And it was disgusting to them. And I can tell you about washing the hands was just on the outside of the hand, not the inside where you used to eat your food. I don't call that clean like they did, but you know, they were hanging on to that. And in the 19th verse of chapter 7 of Mark, the Bible says that at that time, Jesus declared foods not to be unclean anymore. Because he said it's what comes out of your mouth, not what goes into your mouth, that defiles a man. We'll talk about that next week. So Peter he's hearing this voice, and he's saying in verse 14, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." He won't go do it. A voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." That's going back to Jesus, Mark chapter 7, verse 19. Look it up. This happened three times. Why is it it's always three times with Peter? This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up to heaven. And while he was wondering about the meaning of his vision, remember, one key, three doors. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of that vision, in verse 17 of chapter 10, it says, "The men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was. The angel had told Cornelius exactly where Peter was, at Simon the Tanner's house. They stopped at his house at the gate, and they called out and asked if Simon, who was the one known as Peter, was staying there." And they heard about Peter now. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Go up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." God has sent them. We know Cornelius sent them, but God sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" It says, "We have come from the Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who was respected by all the Jewish people A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear. What did he want to hear? What you have to say. What did Peter talk about? Peter talked about Jesus. Then Peter invited the men to his house to be his guests. And we'll continue this next week as we begin to see the transition in the book of Acts from Peter, the apostle to the Jews, and the rest of Acts will primarily be about Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. This is the transition period, but we're going to see just what Peter does when he gets to the house of Cornelius. And next week will be the last that we have with regards to this Bible study on Peter. So I want you to do the following. Would you go to Acts chapter 10? And I want you to read the account of Cornelius and his contact with Peter. Then I want you to go to Mark chapter 7. And from chapter verse 1 up to about chapter verse 17. And